Joining me on this week's Oxcast Extra is Antonia Harland Lang and Yuton Daly from the Museum of Oxford. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So can you tell me a bit about the history of the museum?
Well, the museum opened in 1975 at the corner of the Town Hall in the Blue Boar Street end of the building. And there was a real feeling at the time that the city lacked a museum that told the story of the city as a whole. There was no local history museum. So really the aim was to establish a museum that would do that, that would tell the story of the history from, sorry, the story of the city from ancient times to the present day. And there are a lot of councillors and different local people who are involved in helping to make that happen. And the museum was established in what was the old library, which then moved to the Westgate Centre in 1973.
And what's the museum like at the moment?
We currently consist of a number of different exciting strands. We have two interactive galleries at the very front of the Town Hall. So just as you come in through the main entrance on St Aldate's, we have the Explore Oxford galleries, which tell the story of the city in lots of different ways. We have a number of characters from Oxford's history, including people like Olive Gibbs and, of course, Colin Dexter, the author of Inspector Morse. Back to way further in the Roman period with Roman potters, Oxfordshire was obviously a centre of Roman pottery, and some really fantastic digital interactives. You can cycle around the city in virtual form and explore north, south, east and west areas of the city. We also have a gallery beside the Town Hall Cafe, which has an exciting changing programme of exhibitions, including our community exhibition, which we'll be talking about in a moment. And we have the old museum space, which Yuton could perhaps say a bit about with our events programme.
Yeah, the aim when this part of the museum closed was to actually make sure that our profile was up and retained fairly high. So we use this space, although we don't use it as a museum as such, we use it for lots of different events and activities, from performances to workshops to meetings.
It's a fantastic space. Obviously, you can't see at the moment, listeners, but we're in a barge for this interview, which is excellent. So this year marks the 40th anniversary of the Museum of Oxford being established. How are you celebrating this?
Well, we thought we wouldn't celebrate with just one-off activity, as you do on a birthday. So what we've been doing since February this year is we're having a whole series of different activities. Because often, well, people don't often know what the range of an organisation does, because not everything's always in the public domain. What we've been trying to do throughout the year is try to highlight lots of different things that we do, lots of very active and successful outreach programme that goes on in the community, lots of projects that happens off-site outreach work, as well as the things that happens here in the space. So we appointed a poet in residence, Paul Lyles, who's been working with us and has been working with some of the memory lane reminiscence projects at the museum and working in schools. He's been doing open workshops here and open activities, just been creating work with people, ordinary people, just writing and creating poetry. And then we're working with Oxford Contemporary Music, Avada Visual Arts Gallery and Oxford Playhouse to commission some work for our grand finale, which will be in December.
What's your grand finale called?
It's called Grand Finale.
Oh. That's good to know.
40th anniversary finale. And again, even that is not just a one-off event. It's from Thursday the 10th to Sunday the 13th of December, with a different activity happening each day, from work that Paul's been doing and his performance poetry being performed, a sort of cabaret, museum cabaret that will happen. There's a very interactive sort of sonic wardrobe working with Felix Ward. And she's been just collecting memories of people's use of fabric, the fact that Oxford itself was quite a large area for working within that fabric industry and haberdashery. And we'll just create stories around how those things came about and people's place and value to do with fashion and clothing.
So it's really involving the community. Yeah.
Yes, I think as a museum that's always very much been central to the heart of the Museum of Oxford, really working with lots of different people, lots of different groups and local organisations as well. It's not about us deciding what the history of Oxford is. We always aim to go out and about and to work with people to decide with them what they think the important aspects of Oxford's history are.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about it is not just the object that goes with it as well as the stories behind it.
Yes.
The which is also quite fascinating.
The 40 objects make up your 40 years exhibition.
Yes, that's right. So 40 years, 40 objects, which is currently on in the gallery and will be on until the 20th of February. We've had quite a long run up to that, working with lots of different groups, from second language groups in Marston and Cuttslow, who've created some amazing textiles for us, through to local residents in Blackbird Lees, older people and younger people, on a digital storytelling project, which was called Time to Talk, and involved a really great storytelling company called Storyworks, and they've worked with local people to create sort of 2 to 3 minute stories with audio and visual elements that look at Blackbird Lees today and in the last sort of 40 years as well. And there's some really beautiful moving stories on display in the gallery, and that was in partnership with Oxford Brookes, been fantastic partners there. And we've also worked with Oxford Archaeology as well, so we have on display a couple of really fantastic discoveries from the excavations that have happened over the last 40 years, so including the current Westgate excavations, but a Civil War axe head which was found near Castle Stream, and also we've got an amazing skillet or frying pan which was found just down the road from the museum in Christchurch, and which Oxford Archaeology think was used by an alchemist, so it has quite sort of magical associations.
Yeah.
So really the exhibition, it seems like it has quite a specific remit, in that we were looking for objects that reflected something about Oxford's history over the last 40 years, but actually a lot of the objects in the exhibition go beyond that time period, because either they were found in the last 40 years or they somehow reflect something about a person or an activity that's happened in that time. And also we haven't been bound by place. There's lots of international multicultural objects in the exhibition as well. We've got a gigantona from Nicaragua, because Leon, obviously being one of the twin cities of Oxford, some delegates from Nicaragua brought her over, and she's basically a giant puppet woman, about 8 foot tall, and it's a Nicaraguan tradition involving dancing and relating to Nicaraguan culture, and she's our very own sort of Oxford version of that tradition. And we also obviously have our Ganesha statue on loan from the British Museum. So we've been working in partnership with Oxford Hindu Temple Project, and members of that group have loaned us their own representations of Ganesh, the Hindu god, from their home shrines in Oxford. So it's a really diverse and colourful and eclectic exhibition, and there's sort of lots to see and lots to dip into. We've also been really keen to make sure that the story of those objects are told through the mouths of the participants and the people who've selected those objects. So you won't see traditional exhibition panels. Every panel is in the words of the person who selected the object. So it kind of brings together lots of different voices, lots of different views, which has been really, really exciting as a museum to be involved in.
And along the corridor gallery, we've got another exhibition, which is 40 Best of Oxford, where we've been trying to identify what are the 40 best things about Oxford for people.
Oh.
And obviously, you can imagine that list is
extensive.
Extensive, thank you. And the nature of that exhibition is that people can add to it. So what we hope to do, probably at the start of the new year, is to take that list and get people to vote on, you know, the 40, the massive list that's been generated.
Yeah, we're really aiming to continue a conversation with people. So the exhibition isn't just a sort of finished output. Mm. We're not aiming to be representative or to say this is what Oxford is in 40 objects. We want people to respond to that and to tell us what they think maybe should have been included, or what they think of what has been included. We've got an interactive timeline as part of the exhibition, which sort of covers some of the key events that we think, and our friends group, Museum of Oxford, have a friends group, and they created the timeline, what they think are important events from the last 40 years. But there are hooks on that timeline that visitors can put their own suggestions as to what, you know, should be included there. And with the digital stories as well, we've got a board where people can put their own responses. But the 40 Best of exhibition is also ongoing, so we're still looking for contributions to that. You can find out more on our website, I think, or contact us as well.
Do you have to physically come here to contribute to the exhibition, or can you tweet? Or?
I haven't thought about that. No, I think people can write in.
It's probably best to give us an email.
Yes, that's an email.
And have a look on our website, and there's a link to the 40 Best of exhibition.
Yeah.
What's your favourite object?
In the 40 Objects exhibition, or in the...
In the museum.
I'll let you choose.
Well, in our permanent galleries, and it's a bit of a cliched answer because lots of people say this, I do love our knuckle bone pavement, which basically Oxford used to have a number of pavements that were just made out of the bones of livestock, of cows and pigs that were sold in Gloucester Green, as used to be a cattle market. And so you can see a real life knuckle bone pavement in the gallery, and it really gives a real sense of how different Oxford must have looked. Even though it's such an ancient city with lots of buildings that have been here for hundreds of years, there were things that were still very, very different.
Yeah, look, sound, smell.
Yes, exactly. It really brings lots of different things to mind. How about you, Yusuf?
I don't know if I've got a favourite one, although the image we use a lot in advertising the 40th anniversary is actually the one behind you at the moment, is the Victorian lamppost, because it's such an iconic thing and it looks good on publicity. So I like it.
And we do have we've got a wonderful object in the 40 Objects exhibition which actually reflects the lamppost. It's a lovely ornament of a 19th century lamplighter, which was loaned to us by a lady called Joyce Howe, who used to be landlady of the Lamb and Flag pub on St Giles, and she has lots of amazing stories when she was landlady of the pub, and you can listen to an interview with her in the exhibition. And she basically she found the object in a charity shop, and she chose it because it sort of reminds her of her time as landlady of the pub and also her childhood in Leicester. So it kind of brings together different aspects of her life, and it's really evocative.
In the exhibition itself, I do like the carnival costumes, not because they're spectacular in themselves against the other things, but just because it just brings out that sense of, you know, one of the colours of Oxford, which is that annual event that happens every year on the Kelly Road.
So there are so many exciting things happening. How can people get involved? Because I'm, like, chomping at the bit now.
Well, firstly, do come along to the exhibition. We're open 10 till 5, Monday to Saturday. And there's, even though it's not a huge gallery, there's just so much to see and, you know, contribute to our timeline, have a look at our digital stories, let us know what you think. There's post-it walls and visitor comment books, and we will get back to you, so that's, we'd really love to hear what people think. Come along to one of our events as well, which you can find out about in our What's On guide, which should be around the city in the culture calling leaflet racks.
Or visit the website. We also have an active volunteer program as well, so people like to volunteer for the museum. There's loads to do, from curating things, showing visitors around, tours.
Cool. Yeah. And we've got a newly formed Museum of Oxford Friends group as well, which I mentioned. They go by the name of the Moofs. So, again, there's information out about that on our website. So if you want to get involved in a little bit more of a kind of active way, thinking about the direction of the museum and supporting fundraising for the museum, that's a really good thing to get involved into. And they're a really great, friendly, proactive group of people. Our volunteers get involved in all aspects of museum work. So 40 Years, 40 Objects was set up by myself and a group of exhibition volunteers. So, you know, if you're interested in, you know, getting some really hands-on experience of museum work, just have a look on our volunteering page and it will tell you how to apply. It's quite a simple process. Yeah. So.
What's the plan for the future?
40 Years, 40 Objects, to some extent, is a bit of a testing ground for the direction that the museum might go in. We're really keen to do a lot more of these kind of crowdsourced exhibitions and projects where we go out and work with people to select what we display in an exhibition, how we display it, creating exhibition panels, creating digital projects. So really, we'd like to do more of the same, but in a more even more ambitious way. We are currently fundraising to expand. So watch this space. If that's successful, then, you know, we really aim to continue inviting local people in to contribute to museum displays and to contribute to our events programme, and hopefully to attend our events as well.
Yeah, the biggest plan really is just to reopen back this space that we're now doing this interview in, the old museum as the museum, because the gallery space up there is quite tiny. So there's much more room that we can fill with wonderful objects and stories.
What's special about Oxford's history, or what do you think is special?
For me, somebody who moved to Oxford to work, my only knowledge of Oxford before coming here was the university, and in a sense that's that status it has around the world. But living and working here over 25 years now, you actually people actually don't realise how diverse Oxford is. Mm. Diverse in its many sense, not just to do with our culture, but to do with all sorts of things, from the fact that it actually has had and still have an active industrial history to it, amongst all the academic things that go on. That's a striking revelation for me in terms of being somebody who wasn't born, who moved to Oxford as opposed to living here.
Yeah, I'd second that. I mean, I did grow up in Oxford and I moved away for quite some time, but I think it is that unexpected and exciting sort of changeability, really. You know, there are so many new things you can discover about Oxford. It's so rich, and you know, you can think you know everything about one particular subject, and actually when you start talking to people, there's so much that's new to discover. I mean, I love working at the Museum of Oxford precisely for that reason, the fact that you know, you're working so many different local groups and local people, and there's so many people out there who are really passionate about the city from lots of different walks of life, and lots of amazing events like the Cowley Road Carnival and you know, Oxford Open Doors, and things that kind of bring people together and provide that sort of forum for sharing across different organisations and across different groups. And it's, you know, it feels like a really sort of friendly and exciting place to be, I think.
It's full of culture. It's it's a relatively small city in comparison, but its wealth of culture is vast. From big iconic things at Ashmolean at one end to, you know, Pegasus Theatre on the other end.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.